The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. In our study of the Gospel of John, we shall consider the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy illumination on thy sacred scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us finish our three-part sermon on what I called 2 weeks ago the fifth gospel. We have the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, the Apostle, and now we also have the Gospel of John the Baptist. And as we really think about it, we should say the Gospel of John the Baptist was the first gospel that was preached because John preceded all the other gospel writers in his declaration of the plan of salvation. I mentioned to you that in John the Baptist we have the gospel of the greatest man born of woman from Adam to Christ at Jesus' own confession. And now for a moment, it is well worth considering what I shared with you the last few weeks. The first point of the gospel of John the Baptist is make straight the way of the Lord. The second is, behold the Lamb of God. And the third one is, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this gets us to our text for the day, John chapter 1, verse 33. And this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, and I knew him not, referring to Jesus, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Holy Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Here, for the first time in the Gospel of John, we come to grips with a baptism with the Holy Spirit. John knew all about this filling with the Holy Spirit because he, the Bible says, was full of the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So John's the Baptist knew that a life without the fullness of the Holy Spirit was not worth a whole lot. Well, let's get back to John's three points now. First, John is dealing with the crookedness of man. Then we have John dealing with the sin of man. And then we have John dealing with the barrenness of the believer by emphasizing the need for his baptism with the Holy Spirit. I think John the Baptist is quite thorough, don't you? He says, first, you have to know that you need to repent of your crooked way. Secondly, you have to be born again to become a Christian. And thirdly, you have to have a life filled with the Spirit of God. Unfortunately, many Christians stop short of the Spirit-filled life. All they want is some assurance that they're going to make it to heaven, and then they look for the bare minimums they have to fulfill to get there. They have no serious intention to go on to a Spirit-filled life or the Spirit-baptized life. They are more bothered by the fact that they have a penalty payment for the last telephone bill because they were late in paying the bill. They are more bothered by that than by the fact that millions of people are going to leave this earth without knowing the Lord Jesus. They are more troubled by somebody's harsh words towards them than by their own need to become sanctified. It should bother us more than anything if we as Christians are not baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus never intended for any Christian to stop at conversion, to be satisfied with just a conversion experience. He did not only die to save us, my friends, but he died to save us that we might be sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist says, I baptize with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? The barrenness, the fruitlessness of the average Christian, of the average churchgoer, is a result of a lack of the Spirit baptism. So, we need Pentecost as much as we need Calvary. And I think that one of the great theological errors that is made by some is by saying when Jesus died on the cross, he said it is finished. Jesus' work was finished at Calvary's tree. No, my friend, when Jesus said it is finished, he meant his atoning work, his sacrificial work, as the Lamb of God is finished. But after he rose from the dead, he said to his disciples, in essence, I am not finished, it is just beginning. Therefore tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And from that point on, when Jesus ascended to heaven, Jesus became the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and he continues to be the baptizer with the Holy Spirit to this very day. It is Jesus' desire to baptize every person born again with the Holy Spirit, so my friend, no, his work is not finished. His sacrificial work on Calvary's tree is finished, but he has still much to do in order to endue his people with God's power. But this misleading, quote, it is finished, unquote, theology has led to powerless praying, to powerless witnessing, to powerless overcoming of sin, the devil, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the love of the world. Conversion, friend, is not the end, but only the beginning. John said, I baptize with water, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, you have been baptized with water by man, my dear friend, but have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit by Jesus himself? Now, let me give you some of the doctrine of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. First of all, the church must stop being divided on how to get this baptism. We must not focus on getting it as much as on having it. Some say you get the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. Others say it is accompanied by the gift of tongues. Others say you get it by prayer and by fasting, and so the list goes on. You can get the Holy Spirit. You can get the baptism with the Holy Spirit in all these manners, my friend. The first Christians prayed together in the upper room, and when they had come to oneness, then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So it says in Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were filled, all filled with the Holy Spirit. The second group of Christians in the book of Acts was filled by the Holy Spirit when they prayed for Peter and John, who had been arrested. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this group of people didn't even pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. They prayed for their ministers. And while they prayed for their ministers, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul did not pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, but Ananias did. Ananias laid his hands on him and prayed that Paul might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul received that precious gift by the laying of hands and the prayers of a dear friend. Others received the Holy Spirit during a preaching service. And that's found in Acts chapter 10. There, when Peter was preaching, the people that were assembled were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We must not fight over how to get that sacred baptism, for if we fight over it, we surely won't get it. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is a baptism by Jesus, and he gives it to us when we're ready. It could be doing prayer, it could be doing preaching, it could be while we're driving an automobile, it could be while we're reading the Bible, it could be any time, whenever we are ready to receive it. Since the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a baptism by Jesus, since Jesus does the baptizing, the when and how we get it is up to him. It's up to his divine choice. So the receiving it and the getting it has nothing to do with a method, but it has everything to do with us being empty. When we have emptied ourselves of ourselves, then the Holy Spirit will fall upon us. So you don't have to work on being filled. Rather, you need to work on becoming empty of the self-life. If you take care of the emptying, Jesus will take care of the filling. Well, you say, Pastor Schultz, I'm empty. Well, if you're empty, then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, that means you are not empty. Then there are still things in your life, maybe unbeknownst to you, that need to be removed from within your heart, things that don't belong there, loves and attachments, little gods or habits or attitudes, whatever they may be. Now then, Jesus has a monopoly. Jesus has a complete monopoly on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He will give it when you're ready, and you can count on that. So the first point I'd like for you to know and review is the church must stop being divided on how to get it. And the second point is this: the church must know what it is being baptized with the Holy Spirit. First, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the history of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the words baptized with the Holy Spirit were soon replaced by the word filled with the Holy Spirit. As you notice, all the passages I read to you, I quoted to you, the words filled with the Holy Spirit were used. The words baptized with the Holy Spirit were used in the Gospels, and the words filled with the Holy Spirit are domineering the book of Acts and all the apostolic writings. So when we say, what does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? We can also say, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And the word filled really is much easier for us to grasp than to be baptized. But let me give you a little illustration that brings in both the word filled and baptized. To baptize means to immerse. Now imagine you take an empty glass and you immerse it under water. So there you have the word immersion, which is also the word for baptism. And then as the empty glass is underwater, it gets filled with what it is immersed in. So the Gospels emphasize the immersion, and the writings of Paul and Luke, who wrote Acts, emphasize the filling. So you can see from this, immersion is filling, and filling comes out of immersion. Going on now, let us look at the first mention of the first baptism of filling with the Holy Spirit in the history of the church. And this occurred on the day of Pentecost. It is found in Acts chapter 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The first thing many people do is that right after they read that the Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit, they get into the end, into the conjunction end. And so people get into this great controversy over the gift of tongues. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Dear ones, could we stop before we get to the end? Could we stop before we get to the end and just look at what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit before we get to the end? The great marvel of Pentecost is not in the end, but it is in being filled. There is no question that the first Christians here received the gift of tongues, the gift of language, so that they could speak in the languages of the people that were there assembled. There's no question about this. But the message of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not in the gifts, but it is in the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. So it says here they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that means, my friends, since there is God the Father, and since there is God the Son, and since there's God the Holy Spirit, it means they were filled with God. They were filled with God the Holy Spirit. And so the baptism with the Holy Spirit is nothing more and nothing less than being filled with God himself, God the Holy Spirit. And that means when we are filled with him, with God the Holy Spirit, then we begin to think like God, we begin to act like God, we begin to react like God, we begin to have God's desires, we begin to have God's ambitions, God's motives, we begin to love like God, we become godly. Oh, my friends, such a great subject as this is worthy to be preached on, isn't it? John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, he's mightier than I, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Well, we must close here. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and goodbye now until next week.